Who's going to do the intro, Michael? We didn't talk about this.
No. You said you were going to do it.
You said you were going to do it.
No. I have the text right here. You said yesterday at 11:43 that you were going to do the intro.
What?
So who's doing it?
Well, okay. Yeah. Okay. Why don't you do it?
Okay.
I can do it. Yeah.
Hello,
hey,
ladies and gentlemen.
Everybody.
This is Noodles at
Noon. Michael, you said I could do it.
Oh.
You said I could do it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, go.
Okay. Hey, guys. Everybody. Oh, what?
Guys, this isn't working. I got an idea. Here, just hit play, right? Ready? Go.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Noodles at Noon, the show that focuses on things that are not worth focusing on.
Hello, I'm Noah. I guess I'm the host this week. Michael is also here. Michael, tell us about yourself.
I am here. I am below 5'8". I have black hair and brown eyes, and my driver's license says I still wear glasses. I need to get that changed before I get pulled over and then get fined for not having a current driver's license.
And that driver's license ID number was what again?
Don't worry about it.
Okay. Maybe that's...
You don't get that.
That's in the Discord server. He's going to post that in the private information channel. And we are also joined this week by returning special guest, Daniel. Hello, Daniel. Welcome back.
Hello, folks. Hey, this is awesome. I think this is the trifecta that no one ever asked for, but super excited to be on with you and Michael. Man, this is the team. Miss Ben, but hey, we're going to make the most.
All it took was for Ben to be at his bachelorette party, and then we get to live it up here. Those are his brother said, Ben is going to a bachelorette party or something. That was verbatim what he said. So,
wow.
Don't shoot the messenger. Ben won't listen to this anyway, right?
All I know is I've texted Ben a few times, but all I heard was he's in Vegas and he's like barely texted me this week. So I don't even know if he's coming back. This may be it for the rest of this podcast. It may just be the three of us.
He's in the time warp that is Vegas. It is a world all of its own. You know, the one time I was in Vegas, it just creeped me out. I never really liked it. And then the transmission in my car went out. And we didn't live in Vegas. We were traveling. We were visiting people. And so I have the least fond memories of Vegas. I never want to go back.
It ruined your car.
Double whammy.
Man, and then you were stranded while it was like 117 degrees out.
So that was actually a bit of an adventure. So like I tried to drive home. I like was trying to be an optimist. And so we left Vegas. We were like 100 miles out of Vegas and the transmission started smoking. Like I started losing power. It's Sunday and we're in like Mormon country, you know, in Utah. And the car like will no longer accelerate. So luckily there was an exit ramp. I coasted off the exit ramp and into this gas station. Of course, like it's Sunday, so no one's working. I finally, after calling around a few places, found a repair shop who was willing to buy the car for parts. And so I sold the car for $450. I took off the tags and we approached like this carload of girls. It was Melissa and I. We approached this carload of girls who were like, and we said, are you headed to Salt Lake? And they said, actually, we are. Can we hitch a ride with you? Sure, climb in. It was like a little like hatchback. So there was already three in the car. So it was like this crowded hatchback in the car. And Mormons are great. I'm not teasing Mormons, but Mormons do a thing where they have like annual conference. And even if you don't attend, you're required to listen or you're supposed to listen on the radio. So they were listening to the conference. And so we listened to the Mormon conference and drove 2 hours up to Salt Lake, bought plane tickets with our money that we sold the car for and flew home.
Wow.
It worked out.
It was a story, an adventure.
That's an awesome. Yeah. I mean, that's one of those things that might have been a little stressful at the time. But what a cool story that you always have now.
Right. And we had extra time, so we had a super good dinner in the Salt Lake airport.
A $450 dinner?
Almost.
That is awesome. Well, Daniel, it's really good to have you on the show. It's been, I think, a few months since we've had you on the podcast. I think maybe February was the last time. So
could be.
What's new in your world?
Man, yeah, life is good. Springtime has hit. You know, it's always like, I legitimately enjoy winter and fall, but every time spring rolls around, like, you know, being able to eat out on the patio and all those things, it like, it just feels really good. And, one of the things that let me ask you guys, what's your relationship with animal husbandry?
I've never married an animal or been a husband to an animal.
That's not what that means, Noah. Homeschooler.
Right.
No, I think, hey, I just want to say, like, the homeschoolers were the prime animal husbandry people. Like, I knew people growing up that were, like, you know, middle school, high school, that were super into animal husbandry, but it's not something I've ever done.
Right. Yeah. It's a fun term because, like, not many people are familiar with that term and it sounds super creepy and gross, but like, animal husbandry is essentially, you know, the care for livestock, and a lot of things count as livestock, like rabbits, you know, those people who have chickens in their backyard. So yeah.
That's me.
Oh, do you actually?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's not some elaborate bit. I would show you, but it's across the hallway. So.
So you do have a relationship. Nice work. Bees, honeybees actually count as livestock. So, you know, little known fact, I am a beekeeper. I keep bees, and the springtime is always a time of year where, you know, things are starting to get going. The bees are kind of coming out of dormancy from the winter. You can't start to see the nectar flowing and the honey and stuff. So anyway, this morning, did a bee check, a hive check on the hive, and my daughter is interested in learning, so we were out there kind of working together. It was a lot of fun. The bees are doing great. They're making lots of babies, lots of larvae, lots of honey. It's working.
So how many, like, bees do you start with, and how many bees are going to be born? Like, what kind of numbers are we talking here?
Yeah, if you've got a healthy hive that's kind of surviving and doing well, it's around 50,000 bees.
Whoa.
In the average hive, 40 to 50,000. It's pretty common that your bees don't last through the winter. There's so many, it's kind of a sad fact of, you know, the whole thing, but I'm starting with a new package or a nuke of bees this year, and a new package or nuke of bees has about 10,000 bees.
That sounds epic.
Yeah.
Biological warfare, nuke of bees. Just drop it on someone.
Nuke is, I think it's short for nucleus, you know, so in other words, it's a queen that's already kind of established on a couple of frames. Not as cool for sure, but all right. I'm going to put a few pictures from this morning's check in the nudists. Yeah, that way you can kind of see what's going on. But yeah, they're doing great. So that's what's been fun. That's what's been fun for me this week. The, you know, keeping water, like, they've got like a little fountain out there that we keep watered, and making sure that they, you know, in the spring before the flowers start going, you kind of do sugar water, so they've got nectar to pull from, and yeah, they're doing really good. So it's been fun.
So how long have you been doing that?
So this will be my fifth season doing bees.
Nice.
So how many stings do you get on an average year? Like, is it zero or is it like 50,000 or one for
each
bee?
I mean, some people like to ride the balance. I just mitigate, you know, I go ahead and wear the stuff. A lot of people don't wear the stuff and they just live with the stings, you know, so it's kind of personal preference. Yeah, exactly. I think in total, I've had like three, maybe four stings in the 5 years. Not bad.
Not bad.
Wow.
Yeah. Not bad. And most of the stings are when I'm actually not working on the hive. It's just when I'm in the yard doing something else. Like, one time I was out pulling weeds in front of the hive, and like, this bee dive bombed me and stung me right
bee
in the
nuke.
Stung me right in the face, like right on the cheek underneath my eyeball. And like, it kind of swole up, you know, it was pretty epic looking. And then I got to tell people, no, I wasn't in a fist fight. A bee stung my face. So
I see in these photos that you've got the smoker.
Oh yeah.
There with the bellow, whatever thing. What what is the smoke? Is it just straight up like you're putting some wood in there and lighting it, or is it a special mixture of something?
Oh no, it's just natural stuff. I don't even know what kind of, but it's some kind of pine tree off the side of the house, and so I use pine needles. And yeah, the smoker helps. I mean, a lot of people think the smoker is to make the bees think their house is on fire, and so they like are distracted. But actually, the smoke masks the pheromones that bees put out to like warn one another that there's a threat. So essentially, you're like unplugging the fire alarm when you put the smoker in. So it just kind of helps the bees kind of stay calm and cool.
I knew it did that. I just didn't know how it did. I thought it made them sleepy. I don't know how it worked.
Right. Nope. Just kind of makes them relax. So like in those pictures, you see like that dark halo on each of those frames. That's where like the queen is laying the eggs and the larva. So each frame will have like this little central core at the bottom of eggs and larva, and then this like band of pollen and then a band of honey. So like, okay. Each of those little frames is kind of like a little nucleus of bee life. It's awesome.
Got it.
How much honey do you get out of like a year's worth of doing this?
Yeah. On a good year, one hive, this is crazy. One hive in your backyard. And I don't live on a farm. I live in a neighborhood, you know, so this is just in the backyard. But one hive will produce anywhere from 5 to 10 gallons of honey.
Holy smokes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, buddy.
Man, it's amazing. And we've got a little bit of Dickie's barbecue product promotion in that shot, too. Very nice. Good restaurant. So there you go.
That's the wax cup. So all the, because you got to clean it up. Like bees are, they'll just, every little crack and cranny, they'll start building honeycomb in. And that's fine, but like you want to kind of keep your bees orderly, your hive orderly. So like a lot of a bee check is just scraping off the stuff that they're building where they shouldn't be.
Mm.
That all goes in the cup. And then the cup I melt down and put through cheesecloth, and we make candles and stuff.
Nice. Burt's Bees, Daniel's Bees.
Hey, that's right.
New brand coming at you. What's your dog's name?
The dog's name is Yoda.
I figured
my dog is named Lando.
Nice.
And his date of birth is May 4th.
Oh, is really?
Yeah, I didn't know so that. that's why wow. He's named Lando.
Yeah, we're just thinking, like, we've got a philosophy that pets should be short, like two-syllable names. So yes. All of our pets are two syllables. So we're like, what's next? And Yoda just came up, so.
No, it's good.
That's good, yeah. The short, is this because you don't want it to be too long? Like you want an efficient name that you can yell a lot if you need to yell at the dog? Like you don't want to have to yell Spartacus a bunch of times?
Yeah, it's less that and more that it just sounds stupid when you're like trying to call your animal and you're like, you know, hey, Demetrius Sesquidelius, whatever last name. I don't know. It just doesn't work out. So our names have been Kushli, Bam Bam, Momo, Yoda. Let's see what else. Yeah. Anyway,
two syllable names. Limit.
Those are the best.
Well, Michael, how many bees have you raised this week?
Exactly zero. Yeah, you heard right. None of them. But right before the show, I asked Noah to remind me of what I did this week. I was browsing my Google calendar and there was nothing noteworthy in there. But he reminded me that we played Minecraft this week, which is always such a good time. I love playing Minecraft. And with Noah, it makes it less treacherous to venture into the nether and spend approximately 6 hours trying to find a nether fortress. Minecraft doesn't log your time or anything like other video games, but I probably spent 6 hours trying to find a nether fortress over the last week. It was disgusting. And then also this week, to continue the saga of me buying stuff, I went on to Craigslist. And I found a coffee table and an end table, solid wood, and I got them for $30. 30.
Nice.
And it was awesome. So they're downstairs right now, and they're going to be moving with me when that's happening. And I was just excited about it because I paid for them with my own money, and they're mine, and they look great. They're in really good condition, and it was a good time. So that's my week Not very exciting, but it's not as boring as Ben's. I did nothing this week. That's it. So there you go.
And like, you can put a hot coffee cup on that coffee table and make a coffee ring on it, and like, you got nobody to blame but yourself. What, right, Noah?
Yeah, I posted this picture in our Discord. We got a mug from work that, I don't know, Daniel, you're the pottery guy. How would you describe the makeup of that mug?
Well, it's like, you know, it's fully glazed on the inside, but the outside, it's only glazed halfway. So the bottom of the mug is like the unglazed pottery. So it's kind of like porous, and, you know, you can see and feel the clay. It's cool.
So I have a really bad habit of not using coasters, especially in our home now, because most of our furniture, it's like super old or used. Some of it we found next to a dumpster. Some of it, you know, was really cheap from garage sales. So I'm not too mindful of our furniture. And about every Saturday morning, I will make a cup of coffee or tea and set it on the end table and, you know, be playing a game or working on my computer or watching something in our living room. And I've never had a problem until last week. I had this mug that I'd never used before, but I decided to switch up our mug cabinet a little bit and try this different mug. And something about the makeup of this mug, it gets like super heated underneath on the bottom side. And so I left my mug on this end table and then ended up going to do something and coming back a couple hours later. And I picked up the mug and it had turned a whole circle. Well, not just like a ring, but the entire circle had turned our brown end table white. And I'll post a picture of this on the website, too.
Yeah, all pi r squared is white there.
Yeah, it's not a ring by any means, not a mild ring. It's like it made a white circle in our brown table.
Couldn't be more obvious.
But the really great thing is I have a very understanding wife, and the end table was $7 from an estate sale, I think she said. So she came down and she saw it, and I said, yeah, I've been meaning to tell you about that. And she said, well, let's just flip it around and put like a tissue box over it or something.
Yeah, put your Lego, what is that, Notre Dame on top of it?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So you can see in the picture online, it messed up this table really bad. So now we have a coaster on this table.
Yeah, that's great. That's the great stuff about starting off with furniture. Like, everybody does the same. You start off with garage sale stuff, like cheap stuff from Craigslist, and it's fun. Like, you get to watch your furniture game grow over the years. So, Michael, welcome to your first coffee table and end table. I like how we've hijacked Michael's update like at least twice now.
I'm used to it. I'm used to it. It's all good.
Michael, does Chivalry Bean listen to our podcast? Do you know?
Not sure, but he is commenting on all of the photos.
I want to shout out to Chivalry Bean. He's always in our Discord, and he always posts funny stuff.
I like how Chivalry Bean like specifies that they're not Nick Cage in their comments.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. I have to admit, a lot of what he says goes over my head.
I thought you would relate to it most, Noah. You two are the homeschool gang, the creed of the homeschool.
Well, we tried to have a conversation about anime yesterday, and Michael had to shut that down pretty quick.
No, 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 no. Someone brought me into it, and then I shut it down.
Michael's not an anime fan.
No, but you can talk anime all you want, but once someone brings me into it, you invited my opinion, and that was your fault. So,
Michael, what's your jam on Minecraft? You mentioned you're playing Minecraft. Like, what's your proudest Minecraft moment?
I don't remember my proudest one, but I remember one of my earliest ones was I had a single player world, and this was back beta 1.4, so Beds just came out. And that's not relevant to the story at all. But I was afraid. I was totally terrified to leave my house, especially at night, because, I don't know, back then Minecraft was kind of scary to play alone. Like, I feel like the colors and everything were different, and it was kind of just a darker mood that it was just kind of like, oh, that's spooky. And at night, there was no gradual fade to darkness. It was like choppy. So I never left my house, and it took me probably like 6 or 7 months to find diamonds on that map because I just never went into a cave and never went anywhere. And I built into the side of this mountain, and it looked terrible because I was in middle school and all this stuff. But that's one of my earliest memories, and I don't know my proudest moment, except I accidentally may have killed Cole in our survival multiplayer the other day, and it was hilarious, but we don't talk about it anymore.
Man, yeah. the things that you just take to be normal in Minecraft, like when you actually start talking about it to other people, it's like, okay, that is super weird. I was showing my wife, I developed this really sweet villager breeder, and then this system to be able to move the villagers to another place, and then you can put down the block and give them a profession and do the trades, you know, all that kind of stuff that just sounds totally normal. But I started showing her how it works and how the villager one farms and gives the other one carrots, and then they make a baby, and then the baby runs and falls in a hole, and I move the baby with water, and then the baby grows up, and then I put the baby in a minecart and move it over to another spot. She's like, that is super dark.
I'm like, it can be a little inhumane.
I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have called them babies. They're just like miniature traders. Yeah. Minecraft is crazy.
What does Melissa, your wife, think about Minecraft? Because she's like an artist. I could see her appreciating the art that can be done in Minecraft.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there was one little season of our lives where Melissa was in on a video game with us, and it was mainly we were living overseas at the time, and as a matter of fact, we were both into Minecraft. I mean, not Minecraft, World of Warcraft. And so we had Melissa's brother was living in the States, and so we had like a little Warcraft group, and we would go run dungeons and stuff. And so, like, she super got into Warcraft mainly because of like the, like, she was a hunter, so finding the pets, and then you know, the whole crafting thing, going out and like getting your ores and getting, yeah, and then playing the auction house. So she got super deep into Warcraft, but other than that, she hasn't really gotten into video games. She sees them obviously between myself and the kids, but nah, she's like, it's not on her radar. She doesn't have time for that.
Well, I can talk a little bit about what I did this week. I managed to get out of the house, which was really exciting. And usually, so Tuesdays and Thursdays, my wife works in the evening, so I'm kind of on my own. And usually I use that time to close all the windows and turn off all the lights and just play video games in the dark.
Maybe lock them doors and turn them
which is actually what I did Tuesday when I played Minecraft with Michael. But Thursday rolled around, and I had some work and some things I needed to do at home. But I had to go run some food over to a church kind of near like our old town area. And I went and did that and ran into our pastor there and their family. And they were getting ready to kind of go into old town and eat dinner out. And it was like their first big dinner outing as a family since COVID. So it was a big deal. They were excited to get out and, you know, get to go eat. And then I started thinking about what a nice day it was and how I didn't want to go home and just play video games in the dark or work on any of the work that I wanted to work on or didn't want to work on but needed to work on. So I decided to spontaneously go walk around our old town area, and it was super nice. It was like super nice weather. I knew I wanted to end up at this local chicken place eventually, so I kind of meandered my way to this chicken place. And then I went in and ate there, and I ate there by myself. And I couldn't tell you the last time I ate out by myself. Like, I don't know that I've done that since COVID times. It was very weird. I didn't know what to do with myself when I got my food and was at my table. Like, do I get on my phone? Do I just like stare at people?
Whose hand do I hold when I say grace?
Yeah, you'd have to ask the waitress, hey, I gotta say grace. Would you mind holding my hand for a minute?
Usually there's somebody here.
Don't read into it.
Don't make it weird. Let's go with
it. Just hold me.
Don't make it weird. Just hold me.
I thought you were gonna like get yourself invited to our pastor's meal.
I thought that's what I was going to.
I knew what restaurant they were going to end up at, so I was like, maybe if I just wander in and, oh, look, I'm here too.
You should have followed them in and like then set up at the table opposite, just kind of like watch them eat.
It looks really sad and lonely. Man, I wish I had somebody to eat food with. It's cool. You have a whole family.
Yeah, families are nice.
They say grace with you, then relegate you back to your own table.
That's awesome.
Like, all right, well, we said the prayer, Noah. I think it's time for you to leave. Clearly, you're not taking the hint, so...
That's awesome. Our town does have a really amazing old town. Mm-hmm.
But it definitely, I don't know, I got some social anxiety just walking, especially by myself, because I don't walk around places by myself hardly anymore. It just felt very foreign, like all these people, and sometimes were kind of crowded streets that, I don't know, it was all kind of unfamiliar territory for me. And then later on, I decided to stop in Target on the way home and look for a playground ball, because I'm determined to play some Foursquare with some people. We have some great Foursquare like chalk drawings by our house, and I'm just determined to play Foursquare. So I've been trying to find a playground ball, but like still, I was just feeling weird walking through this store by myself, and a lady and some guy that was with her, they were walking the opposite. And you ever do that thing where you're like, you're trying to like acknowledge that somebody's there and just like kind of nod at them, but also not be weird or creepy or like, you know, just stare at people.
Really quick, you know what I've noticed is that's like such an American thing, because I've been to Mexico. I go to Mexico frequently. And there, maybe it's just the hotel staff is forced to, the resort staff is forced to say this, but anytime you walk by them, they say hi. Mm-hmm. I think it's an American construct that like we walk by people with our blinders on.
Yeah.
And like that's what is awkward. So anyway, continue.
Yeah, so but that's perfect, because that's exactly how this story gets weird. Is I'm walking down, and like as this lady and this guy are like neck and neck with me, she just turns to me and goes, "Hey, how are you?" and keeps walking. But so I looked back over my shoulder, and like maybe I know her, maybe she's, and I just like rudely walked by her, and I looked back, and I definitely don't know her. Like I don't know anybody that looks like this lady. And I think she was just like being nice or something, but she didn't give me time to respond before she was like walking past me. And I'm like, and I just like let out this little like, good. But it's like under my mask, and I'm sure she couldn't hear me because, yeah, I'm wearing a mask and everything. And
you too.
And I just kept walking. Like I didn't stop or anything. And I don't know. It's these weird social encounters that I have to relearn how to handle and how to acknowledge people.
Yeah, man. The struggle is real. As we began, like, you know, getting vaccinated and we like start entering back into social things, we had some friends who are moving out of state, and they had one of those things where like they just invited everybody that they know over to their house. Like they were grilling in the backyard. They just had people hanging out. And even though it was like in their yard, to see something around 50 or 60 people all in one place that's not like your workplace or church or something was like, it was really kind of weird. I mean,
yeah.
I think we're all going to have to kind of relearn how to do things.
Oh, yeah.
All the social progress I've made in the last few years, I feel like it's all just regressed in the past year.
Man. Yeah, I bet like those. Have you? I don't know about you, but like I listen to a lot of podcasts, noodlespodcast.com. And
noodlespodcast.com.
Oh, it's me.
I don't know if it like, is it just me or are you noticing a lot of those like online counseling things being advertised?
Yeah, those are sketchy. Yeah.
They are sketchy, but like the fact that they're advertising those so often, I mean, clearly either there's a need or there's people are like monopolizing on a felt need. Anyway, I think a lot of people are feeling it.
Speaking of, I just want to say I listened to Conan O'Brien's podcast randomly this week. I think we have a better mic setup. I think our podcast sounds Seriously? Better, and that made me feel really good.
Is he recording Nice. It at home on his laptop or something?
I don't know. Whatever it was, I was like, oh, I mean, our mics sound better than this.
I was actually talking to Ben. It's been months, but I was talking to Ben about, like, I don't think we realize how... Our nudists don't realize how spoiled they are with our show, because even though the content may be lacking, the audio quality, because we've all done video stuff, we all have interest in these things, we have all the gear to make a really good sounding show. And I don't think that maybe that just kind of flew under the radar, but I was thinking about it. I'm like, this is really cool. Cause it could, a lot of my friends have started shows and they don't sound as good. So it goes a long way.
Well, and I've noticed, yeah, a lot of the podcasts I listen to and several of them have had to go remote. And I think they are just like taking the Zoom recording. And we've had to do that a few times too when we've had technical issues on the back end. But yeah, we like right now we're all recording separately and we all have good mics and interfaces and it's pretty sweet. It's not that hard to make a good sounding podcast anymore, which is really cool.
Yeah, man. Just that little extra effort. Pat ourselves on the back. But like especially like when they like have people call in, the thing that I don't understand is like when they, you know, they have people call in and they just take the phone recording over Zoom and like use that. Like all you have to do is tell the person calling in, like turn on the voice recorder on your phone at the same time as talking to us.
Right.
And then send us that file. Like so much better. Like big podcasts that don't even do that. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, Daniel. I've had to do this and I know you've had to do this too, with creating online church services, having to get people to like Google Drive you a video.
Yeah.
Some weeks that's a struggle depending on who the person is.
The struggle, man. And you know, hey, like we can call like the big bad monopoly Apple a bad guy, but you know, it's the people outside of the Apple ecosystem that can never get it done. Like, yeah, for whatever it's worth. Sorry, Android people, but like I don't know why. There's just no easy way to get a file off an Android phone to that. Of course, you know, cue the hot replies to this one. But of course, people can get it figured out.
Me holding my Android phone.
Yeah, rant. I mean, I just tell people if they're on Android to like share it like with Google Photos, and that tends to work out. You know, that's pretty like most people can get that figured out. But yeah, getting the file can sometimes be a struggle.
Well, maybe that can be our SpeakPipe question this week. Are you team iPhone or team Android? All those Android people, whatever, you know, mean things you want to say to Daniel, this is your safe space.
Yeah. Well, or we can like, or secondarily, what do you hate about Android users? And what do you hate iPhone users?
No, we are not starting that.
I thought he was just going to leave it there. What do you hate about Android users? Just leave it. No. Like the fact that when you have an Android user in your group text and somebody likes a message, it sends that message to everybody that's like, Daniel P. has liked the following message, and then it relays the entire message again.
They're all just tools. I mean, honestly, I'm not a jerk about it. Whatever tool you like, use the tool. Like actually most of the people who are super security related tend to like want to use Android or whatever and like hack it so they can take off everything. I don't know, whatever. Everybody finds their spot. Find your lane.
And stay in it and conform.
Stay in it. Speaking of staying in it, I have a game. Are we ready for games? You want to do some games?
I'm ready for games.
Nice segue.
Thanks, I know. Flawless. The first game for the week is Lost in Translation Shakespeare Lyric Challenge. Now, I can't remember if we've done this before. We did Lost in Translation Lyric Challenge before, but nobody knew the songs. So I reached out to the audience and I got songs. Here's how it's going to work. I'm going to give you the lyrics in Shakespearean English as best as I can. I haven't read these really. And then you have to give me the title. And if you don't get the title, but you get close enough, I guess I'll give you a point. So
before we get, like, do we have any idea like what genre these songs are coming? Is this like top 40 or like where country music? What
is driver's license? A lot of this?
You jerk. All right. So we're not doing round two.
Wait, really?
Yeah. It's mostly 80s rock, which people should know. If you've ever been to a waiting room anywhere in the world, you've heard these songs. And there's one newer song and no longer driver's license because someone guessed it. So
Noah.
Okay.
I thought you hadn't heard of that song.
I still don't know the lyrics, so I would not have gotten that answer. Do you know that song, Daniel?
I do.
Oh.
I try to stay up on what's hip with, you know, things.
cool with the kids. Round one, I'm sorry if an English accent comes out. I won't be able to help it. I can't stand ho this humor deepeth inside of me. Wench, thee just realizeth not what thee doth to me, at which hour thee holdeth me in thy arms so tight.
Oh, man, I am drawing.
I don't know.
I'm not, yeah. I don't have anything.
Oh, no.
Can I guess a band and maybe get close? I mean, who wrote a lot of 80s love ballads? I don't know. Let's go Def Leppard. I don't know the name of the song, okay. though.
Noah, what's your guess?
Yeah, I'm sure to you, Michael, like, knowing the song, it's just painfully obvious that we can't get it. But yeah, that's hard. It felt like a Styx song to me. I think I'm going to go with Styx, all of their songs.
So it's Hooked on a Feeling by Blue Suede.
Oh.
I can't fight this feeling deep inside of me. I can't stand ho this humor deep within inside of me. No one will get a point on that one. Maybe we'll do four rounds and whoever gets a point will probably win the game.
I have a feeling that's what we need.
This one might be hard, but I think we've got it. Everybody wanteth a thrill, payin' aught to rolleth the dice. Just one mirth timeth, some shall winneth, some shall loseth, some worth born to singeth the blues.
Oh, I know this one. Okay.
You do?
Yeah.
Whisper it to me.
No. I think we should have Daniel go first just in case he... Do you
Noah,
have a guess, Daniel?
I'm blank, Noah. Go for it.
Don't Stop Believin'.
Yes. Noah gets a point.
Don't stop believing. Yeah. Got it.
Some shall win, some will lose. Some are born,
to sing the blues.
Yeah.
The trick is I kind of didn't take from the chorus because I think it's too obvious that way.
I had to start sing it all the way until it got to the chorus to remember what the song was, but
this one is a little bit newer, so we'll see how you guys do. Mother hath said it's uphill for oddities, stranger crusaders, ain't ever wannabes, the weird and the novelties ever not changeth.
Oh, all right, man. Daniel, I carried my weight last time. It's your turn.
I feel like I'm like in another podcast than you guys. Like there is nothing that's like hidden with I'm maybe not like much of a lyric person. I don't know. Just because of the mother, even though I know it's totally wrong, let's go Bohemian Rhapsody. Oh,
that's what I was gonna guess. Man, for the exact same logic, but I don't think it's right either.
I think I may have done Bohemian Rhapsody on the first time we did this, but this is High Hopes, Panic at the Disco. Mama said, it's uphill for oddities, stranger crusaders, and ever wannabes are the lyrics.
Mm.
We don't know that one? Okay, that's fine. But we know the last one, I'm sure. Round four, this is our final round. But I'm effed for thee. I'm standing on my own 2 feet, out of doth way the bullets rip, repeating to the soundeth of the did beat. Oh my gosh, no one's going to get this one. But I'm effed for thee. I'm standing on mine owneth 2 feet, out of the doth way the bullets rip, repeating to the soundeth of the did beat. Man, reading it, I don't even know what it was. I'm glad I wrote down the title.
Man.
This game needs to go away and never come back.
What's this song rated? Shakespeare? Let's go Gangster's Paradise.
Oh, okay.
It feels like a Cake song to me. I don't know.
Oh, boy. Okay, this is another one, Bites the Dust by Queen.
Oh.
I can't even tell you what the original lyrics were. I should have put them in there, but... Okay, Noah wins the game. That never is going to come back because no one ever wins it. All right, good job.
Wait.
Noah Michael. Got a thing.
Yeah, I've won three games in three weeks. Consecutive podcasts.
Wow. That one was well-deserved. That was not rigged in any way.
The curse has broken.
It's just hard for everyone.
I like no matter how good you do, Noah, like you're just deemed the one who's bad at the games.
I'm trying to break that stigma.
Through no fault of your own.
Yeah. Michael, when was the last time you won a game?
Well, right now.
right now, you think? All right. You guys ready to play What's the Deal?
Ready.
I'm so ready.
All right. We have three What's the Deal questions. We've played this recently, but the way it works is I'm going to ask you what's the deal with something, and you have to give me the news story that happened this week concerning this thing. Whoever gets closer or whoever's story maybe mentions some of the same elements will get the point. Daniel, as our guest, you get to go first. What's the deal with blue paint?
Well, I'll just preface my pitifully poor performance on both games in this podcast in that, like, I have not re-entered the news cycle since Lent. I gave up news for Lent, and so good. I have not come back.
That's right.
Is the deal with blue paint? What is the deal with blue paint? Well, I think it really is, you know, there's a city in Caledonia that, like, is just really polluted. Pollution is a big deal, and the residents were really bemoaning the fact that they no longer have blue skies, and so all buildings over 10 stories tall are required to paint the 11th story and up in blue paint. So that's the deal with blue paint.
That would be pretty sweet. It's like, that's what they do in the Truman Show. They, like, paint a sky far away so he doesn't know he's in a bubble.
Spoiler. Right.
All right, yeah, I just spoiled the Truman Show. I'm so sorry. Michael, what do you think?
You know, you're starting out easy. It's pretty clear. Sherwin-Williams, manufacturer of blue paint. The Sherwin of Sherwin-Williams was canceled this week for putting pineapple on pizza.
Oh, man. He deserves it.
I thought for a second, when you first said that name, I thought that was the guy that made the Brady Bunch and Gilligan's Island. Sherwood Schwartz or something like that. That I can remember. Okay. All right. Well, Sherwin-Williams put pineapple on pizza, or...
I like how Sherwin-Williams is the only manufacturer of blue paint.
Yeah. It's well known.
Yeah, it's well known.
Or Caledonia has to paint their 11th plus story buildings blue. The correct answer, I'm going to read you the headline. Detroit pizza man paints street blue to save people some green money, which is just kind of a silly headline. But anyway,
there is a
pizzeria in Detroit that had some handicapped parking spaces that were not very well signed, not very well communicated that they were handicapped parking spaces. And it was pretty much set up like a tourist trap. Like, a lot of people would come to this pizzeria and they'd park in these spots because they looked like they were legitimate spots. And then they'd get a $150 fine. So the pizzeria owner, Tony Sacco. Hey, Tony.
Of course. Of course, his name is Tony.
Tony.
Hey, Tony.
He got real mad about these spaces. So he went out with a bucket of blue paint and just painted over the handicapped spots.
Nice.
Eventually it got reported in the news. The, like, civil engineer came out and did an interview about this, and I like the article ends with, "I did the right thing," said Sacco, standing next to the bright pavement. "I'm not sure of that part," the engineer replied. So they did agree to change up the way the street works a little bit and make the signage more clear so people would not just get trapped into paying tickets. But yeah, I have to give this one to Daniel because Daniel's had to do
whoa,
with...
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh!
Whoa.
Michael,
my
literally had
pizza
in his...
Oh my gosh, you're totally right. Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah.
Wow.
I have to give the point to Michael. I was going to say Daniel because it had to do with, like, civilians getting mad and then painting something blue. But you're right, Mike. Michael had the pizza point, so...
Yeah, I'd gladly give this point to Michael.
That was such a weird chance of that working. But
yeah, really.
Right.
So weird, I apparently didn't even notice. All right, Michael gets the point. Next question, we'll go to Michael first. Michael, what's the deal with the Colosseum?
Oh, easy. The Roman Colosseum getting a new floor. They're restoring something. I think it was the floor. But if you're going to be picky, I'm going to say they're restoring the floor.
All right. The floor or the subfloor? Just to get a fine point of clarification.
Oh my gosh, really?
Whoa.
Subfloor, because you gave me that option.
All right, Daniel, what do you think?
After all these years, the Italian government has realized that there are some aspects of our barbarous past that should not be celebrated. And so actually they've closed the Coliseum to public tours because they no longer want to celebrate the mass murdering that took place as a form of entertainment to the people.
Canceling the Coliseum.
The Coliseum has been canceled.
Daniel, yours is very nice and nonviolent and uplifting. Yeah. Sadly, this is a glorification of the Coliseum. Man builds the Lego Coliseum, the largest Lego set at over 9,000 pieces, in a record time of 13 hours and 37 minutes, earning himself a Guinness World Record. So, I guess it's a massive set. I'll post a picture of it, of the Lego Coliseum. Yeah, it's over 9,000 pieces. It's like $700 or something like that. It's a pretty cool set, but this guy, he wanted to set a record for the fastest build time. So he spent 13 and a half hours consecutively building this Lego set, which, wow. I don't know. I think I have a lot of questions about how hard would it be to get a Guinness World Record. Like, what if I picked a different set and just said,
right,
I want to build it the fastest. Like, nobody else has ever recorded themselves building this set. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, just buy a three-piece set and tell someone from Guinness to show up. You build a minifig.
Right, here I go. I'm gonna put this in. All right.
And he's done. World record. Baby Yoda.
The odd things you can get records for are just, they're just kind of ridiculous. One can always hope that we would get better, but, you know, this does make more sense that that's what the news line would be on the Coliseum here. We were just there 2 years ago. Yeah, about 2 years ago over Christmas. And I can tell you, it's still doing real good. They still got all the people going to the Coliseum.
Is it, like, how many people are usually touring that?
Ooh, there you go. Well, obviously, it was we were there in January before COVID. So it was like, you know, two months or whatever before COVID. And so it was like totally unchecked.
Oh, gosh.
And
yeah.
Christmas isn't necessarily the biggest holiday season, but like it was crowded. Like we had to wait a little bit and to get in. I don't know what the numbers are, but there's a lot of people.
Man. Well, yeah, I did just post that picture of the Lego one in the Discord. And
nice.
Yeah, it's an impressive build for sure. I feel like it would get kind of repetitive to build since it's all the same color and it's kind of the same all the way around, but it looks cool. It's pretty cool.
Bringing it full circle, my son Isaiah, in his Latin, he went to a school that like like they have to take Latin and all this kind of stuff. And in his final senior project for Latin class, he built the Coliseum in Minecraft. And
oh, really?
Class. Yeah, he got an A.
Wow. That's awesome. The things people build in Minecraft, yeah. There's some amazing stuff. Well, unfortunately, Daniel, I feel like I kind of have to give the point to Michael again because his had to do with building the Coliseum and this was building the Coliseum. I don't know. I think his might have been a little bit closer.
He can have it. I know it's not a popular stance to be a pacifist, and so I'm used to losing.
I feel that, and I support you, and I appreciate you. Final question. Daniel, if you can get this one right on the head, we'll give you some points. We'll figure that out. I don't know. Let's ask the board. Daniel, what's the deal with zebras?
Unfortunately, there is a unique thing taking place among the zebra populations. As climates continue to change and as zebras, like their migration patterns and their eating adjusts to, you know, balance out, zebra's striping pattern has slowly been morphing. And it's hard to tell if you actually just look at a zebra, like you're like, oh, that looks like zebras always. But like, if you compare zebras now to like 40 and 50 years ago, clearly the black stripes on zebras are getting narrower as they have to kind of, you know, they have to balance out the heat and stuff. So like they're, and you know, the predators are going down. I don't know. I'm making this up. But the answer is the black stripes are getting narrower on zebras.
Interesting story, if it is true. Michael.
Man, that was an elaborate tale.
That was.
However, the fact is, at the New York Zoo, Mama Zebra gave birth to a beautiful little baby zebra, and its name is two syllables, and let me tell you its name. Hold on. Franklin.
Right.
Franklin two. Zebra. That's two, right? Franklin. Depends on how you say it.
Franklin.
Franklin.
Baby Franklin. I accidentally just said Franklin. Now, thank you. Baby no. Franklin was born, and it's making all sorts of social media uproar. Because no, it's so cute.
Yeah. That could have been so cool. You could have said, like, it gave birth to a horse.
Oh. And then went on Jerry Springer for Who's the Dad of Baby Zebra.
No, they just went on the Jerry Springer cameo page and asked to like send a video back.
Yeah.
Who's the dad?
I wonder if you could like make an entire like talk show out of just getting cameo clips and then like cutting them together. That would be amazing.
Have them say different things. We definitely need an investor for that.
Yeah, right. it'd get expensive.
Unless it's all like hockey sportscasters, because apparently they're like $10.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. The deal with zebras. A mad, that's in quotes, mad zebra escaped from a truck in Tennessee, of all places, and went wandering around an elementary school. Residents were warned and advised to beware of the mad zebra and stay inside. And fortunately, it was caught before anyone was hurt.
That's awesome.
So I don't know the damage a zebra can do. Like, if I saw a zebra in the wild, I don't know that I would be afraid of it. Probably mostly confused if it was, like, where we live. But apparently zebras can be dangerous.
Have you heard the stories of, like, people who get, like, a deer caught in their house, or a deer somehow gets caught in the house?
Oh,
and then, like, being able
to
get... Like, if a zebra is anything like a deer that's caught up in a house, like the damage they can do is complete and utter destruction. Like they flail and they've got all those hard bits and they just like walls torn up, everything broken, windows smashed out. It's a mess. Yeah.
Well, I did just Google zebra dangerous and the little card that came up says, zebras also have very different temperaments to horses. They're far more aggressive and a lot more dangerous. Zebras have been known to kick each other to death, and they will viciously bite any human that comes too close. And there are even accounts of zebras killing lions.
Can I change my answer? A Tennessee man realized he was having a hard time like with security. He was getting robbed all the time. And so finally, he discovered the secret. He now has guard zebras in his house. I don't know.
Instead of like armed guards or anything, just put a bunch of hungry zebras out in front of your house.
Ferocious zebras. Yeah,
man, I don't know. I kind of feel like I have to give it to Michael again.
It's okay. There's always
it's all right
time.
It's all right. I mean, it happens to everybody. Noah, I'm filling in for you this week. Utter zero. Not a single point.
Listen, if Shakespeare lyric challenge wasn't a complete and utter dumpster fire, maybe we would have had some better points distributions. But
that was
fun,
though.
That game
I like
back
that.
And it never works.
Yeah,
so.
It made me think. Well, does anybody else have anything to add before we close out our very first Ben-free podcast?
I think, I mean, I don't want to like circumvent the speak pipe question you've had, but I'd love to speculate on what does a Ben bachelor or bachelorette party look like? Like, he's the best man, right? So he's kind of, it's up to him to establish what's happening at this party. So you guys know Ben a little bit better than me. Speculate on what you think Ben is doing for this bachelor party.
Copious amounts of lemonade. And Christian worship music blasted full volume.
They're just going to go through his baseball card collection.
Yes, right. Too.
Like maybe if they really splurge, they're like maybe they can like you know, do like somebody popping out of a cake and it's going to be like a minor league baseball player and they're all going to just chat about
someone
like,
off Cameo.
The life of a baseball player.
Or like Corey Asbury or some worship leader.
Right. I can just picture them sitting around like a nice dining room table in a well-lit room with like little circular paper plates and like some nice like square wedges of lemon cake and lemonade, just having nice chats, like maybe some classical music playing in the background.
My bachelor party was me and Ben and two other people that remembered to show up, getting on a Zoom call and playing Jackbox for an hour. So I don't know. That was my bachelor party experience.
Yeah. Oh man. My bachelor party, we were married like up in the mountains of Idaho, kind of a mountain town where we used to love to go camping. And the great thing about Idaho on compared to the state, the mountains in which we live, is Idaho is like a geothermal like playground. Anyway, hot springs are everywhere. Mm. And so we went out to the hot springs and there were cigars involved. Lots of good times with the boys. It was good.
Whoa. That sounds pretty sweet. All right. Well, yeah, we want to hear from you about what do you think Ben's dream bachelor party is?
And you submit that at noodlespodcast.com.
Noodlespodcast.com. I think our SSL certificate expired again, so I need to fix that.
Yes, it did. Oh, yep, dang. Not secure. Look at that. I'm getting doxxed.
Web developer nerd. 10 out of 10, the bachelor party is going to end in a nice friendly round of Florida Man.
Oh, yeah. You know that. For sure. Well, everybody, thanks for coming on the show. Michael, it was great to have you as always. Daniel, great to have you. I'm sure we'll have you back again.
Glad to be here.
I think you've been, besides Michael, who I don't know, I guess is still a guest somehow.
I'm still a guest.
I think you've been on the most episodes of the show, so thanks for still coming back anyway.
Always happy to be here. And Michael, it's been a pleasure being on at the same time as you.
Yes, you too. It was a long time coming, so I'm glad we got it done. And it didn't require anyone getting surgery, so that's all I'll say about
that. Yes, yes.
All right, well, let's go start a Minecraft server.
When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands that have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth and the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare.
I can't do it.